Welcome into the Pursuit of Manliness podcast, where we are vigorously equipping men to pursue biblical manliness. My name is Jarrett Samuels. I'm the host of the podcast. Men, as always, I like to begin these conversations and episodes by thanking you for checking out today's show. You can listen to a lot of podcasts, but you're here. When you get the opportunity, check out the links in the show notes. Those are put there with you in mind. Perhaps there's something you want to check out, whether it's the website, our Facebook group, sign up for our men's retreat. But I want to remind you, this show is sponsored by Darkwater Woodwork, darkwaterkc.com. Right now, if you visit darkwaterkc.com, you are going to see an incredible St. Patrick collection there. I'm looking at St. Patrick beard oil, beard balm, soap, a t-shirt, etc. You put in today's discount code, which I'll give you in the midst of the podcast, and you will save 15% off of your order when you buy beard products from darkwaterkc.com. Now, I'll let you know, I was talking to Doug the other day, and he was talking about some of the scents and things that he wishes he could keep in stock. And I said, is it a lack of time, space? Like, what is it? And it just comes down to, there's just certain times of year when certain things can be available. Well, right now, you do not want to miss out on getting this St. Patrick scent. He told me it's one of the most popular ones that he puts out. So, men, make sure you visit the link in the show notes, darkwaterkc.com. It's time for today's podcast conversation. I don't know why, maybe it's me, but if you're watching on YouTube, it seems a little dark in here. Of course, it is quite gloomy outside, so maybe that's part of the deal. So I got a not very good inside light above me, and I got a ring light in front of me. Probably the biggest ring light a person can buy. Certainly too big for a guy my age to have a ring light like this, but here we go. We are talking about Mark 9 today. Mark 9, the transfiguration of Jesus. If you are an honest man and you would take the time to read the Gospels as an unbeliever, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you read these four Gospels, and let's say you're an unbeliever, because I hear from unbelievers say, I've read the Bible and that, you know. Okay. So if you read that and that's all you read, you would at least have to walk away from the Gospels to say, I need to figure out if this guy really lived or not. Like, this is incredible. Was there a guy who lived in this part of the world at that time in history? And you're going to find, without a lot of research, yeah, it's not hard to figure out that guy really did live. Like, those things really did happen. Now, what you have to come to, and this is your attention, is then, is he the Son of God? Is he the Messiah? Is he God in the flesh? And some people say, ah, yeah, that's a fairy tale. I'm just, nope, don't do that. If you're talking about your eternity, and you're willing, you, remember, you said you're an honest man. If you're an honest man, you have to consider a name that is synonymous with history, because the calendar is tethered to the date of his birth or roughly thereof. Holidays that are connected to him, you say, no. Hey, I'm just telling you, if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you would at least have to consider, if this guy really lived, did he just have a good three-year run? You know, like some of those presidential candidates, you'll see him for a couple years, 3 years, and you go, hey, this guy's picking up some steam. And then by the time you get to the election year or a few months before the election, you're like, whatever happened to so-and-so? Is that what happened here to Jesus? Had a good 36-month run, and then he just kind of fizzled out. They killed him, and that was the end of that. Yeah, I don't think so. And if you're an honest man and you're an unbeliever and you read Mark 9, in particular, I don't know, 2 through 13, I'm not going to read you all that today. I'm going to stop at verse 8 where it says Jesus only. And so that will be your discount code today. Jesus only, all capital letters. That should be our discount code every week, but we're not going to do that. Jesus only. The transfiguration. Verse 2, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, and he led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. Meaning, not masquerading, he didn't put on a costume, he didn't play dress up, he didn't say, let me tell you a secret. No, he was transfigured. This humble servant became a mighty king right in front of their eyes, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. How would Mark know? His name's not mentioned in here. He wasn't hiding out on the mountain somewhere. Well, Peter's going to tell him this story. He said, let me tell you. intensely white. How do we know that Peter tells the truth in this story? Because Peter doesn't make himself out to look all that great now, does he? And so, and they appeared to him Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Peter said to him, Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Peter's like, we are not going anywhere. This is our new residence. This is our base camp. This is where we're going to operate out of. We got Moses and Elijah. Yeah, we're not going anywhere. He didn't know what to say, verse 6, for they were terrified and a cloud overshadowed them. That's a constant theme throughout Scripture. I'll probably touch on that later on. Overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud that said, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. Yeah. We got Moses and Elijah here. Do you see this? Yeah, listen to him. And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. Now, I wonder, this is how my mind operates. I wonder, what did Moses and Elijah think about this? Like, did they know? Did they know this is what's going to happen? Hey, I need to borrow you guys real quick. I mean, this will take 2 seconds. Literally, this is going to take 2 seconds. I just need to borrow you guys. There's a lesson I need to teach a few of these disciples here. Don't worry. It'll get the Bible. What are we going to say? You're going to say nothing. I'm just going to get you down there. And it'll all make sense here in just a second. I don't know. And so you got Peter, James, and John. Some people say, well, that was his favorite. That was his inner circle. Yeah. But it also might be guys that he would know, like, these three need this. They need this confirmation. They need to see this. Or it could be, these are three that I know won't say a word to anybody about this until it's time. His clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. This idea, again, of transfiguration is not dressing up. He didn't go to a closet and grab a robe and a crown and go, look, I'm a king. Nope. This is a word that is like from the inside out. And from the inside out of Jesus, there's this glow. There's this great shining being. And to say that the disciples, in particular Peter, were not quite sure what to say would be an understatement. You ever found yourself in situations where you feel like there's something I need to say, but I don't know what to say? Well, that would be one of these situations. Now, I know I gave them a hard time, Moses and Elijah, that, you know, they didn't have any speaking parts. They were talking to Jesus, though. Verse 4, and they were talking. What were they talking about? What? Could you imagine the conversation that Jesus and Moses and Elijah could have? I mean, are they reminiscing? Are they talking about what's to come? They talking about things in the kingdom of heaven? Like, what are they talking about? You ever, like, you watch, I know it's a terrible analogy, but it's all I got. Like, on Monday Night Football, I can't take the main people. It's nauseating. But they have this thing called Manning Cast. So Peyton Manning and Eli Manning, and they call the game. And I like it when Peyton and Eli call the game with no guest. Once the guest comes on, I'm like, okay, well, let's go find something else to do. But when Peyton and Eli are on, and if they have a guest that is also like a football player, it gets real good because they see things and they talk about things that you and I, we don't see and we don't recognize because they have all the years of experience, all the years of study, all everything. And I'm just humbled at listening to them talk, or they'll go back to, you know, the passing academy that they did or whatever, and they'll talk about a conversation they had and something they noticed in this individual, or the way that he responded to this question, or the way that this person texted them back, and just because they've been so engrossed in this for so long. And I'm thinking, I mean, think about what Jesus and Moses and Elijah could possibly be talking about. I mean, Moses, who represents the law, Elijah, who represents the prophets. You got Moses, who died, right? Gone on to glory. And then Elijah, just taken up to heaven. I mean, what could these three be talking about? Right in front of them. And Peter sees it and says, yep, I'm not moving from this spot. You know what? It's good that we're here because we can all of a sudden be construction crew, and we're going to build some tents, and we're going to live here. Well, in that moment, a cloud overshadowed them. A voice came out of the cloud and said, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. Now, I said we're going to talk about this, and I want to go through it briefly. Well, I think it's briefly, but this idea of a cloud or something overshadowing people like a cloud is a consistent theme throughout Scripture. Just a few of them here. You have the pillar of cloud that stood over Israel in the wilderness, Exodus 13. The cloud that God speaks to Israel from in that, Exodus 16. You have the cloud that of glory that God met with Moses and others, and that's a consistent theme throughout Exodus and Numbers. The cloud where God appears to the high priest in Leviticus chapter 16. A cloud that God appears to Solomon when the temple was dedicated in 1 Kings 8. There's a cloud of Ezekiel's vision in Ezekiel 10. Mary gets, not a specific cloud, but overshadowed, if you will, when it was announced that she was going to have the birth of Jesus. There's a cloud that receives Jesus as he goes back, ascends back into heaven, Acts chapter 1. And Luke talks about the cloud that will display the glory of Jesus Christ when he comes to when he comes back to earth to triumph, to take what is already his. So there's this theme that continues to go. And I said in the beginning, boy, it's kind of different here. It's kind of a overcast day. Well, I don't see a lot of clouds. It's just gray. It'd be great if there was a bunch of clouds outside. I could find a connection. There's no connection. I don't have a connection. But there's a theme. There's a consistent theme. And I've said for a long time, like God speaking to men and women a little bit different. God uses things and he uses whatever means necessary to get our attention. However, it will always be consistent with his nature, consistent with his word. Steer clear of people who have received a vision from the Lord and you're like, say what? That's where did that come from? Or it contradicts what is already in Scripture. They got some kind of new revelation or new thing. Yeah, I don't want no part of it. I don't want no part of it. And a God that knows his people, a God that has created his people, a God who has allowed his son to be torn to shreds for his people, would not put his vision, if there was a vision, in one person, and that's it. Now, if there was a whole bunch of people or something, okay, maybe we need to pause to consider, but if it's not consistent with the nature of God, and it's some random person somewhere on Instagram telling you some new vision they got, and all these people hitting the heart button and like button and hallelujahs and all the, you're like, you're so easily misled. And that's why God says, listen to Jesus only. Peter didn't know what to say. A cloud overshadowed them. A cloud said, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. And suddenly looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. Now it's clear, and as it would be, this experience made quite an impact on these disciples. I mean, this is something you are never going to forget. We all have, at some point or another, you know, kind of these God moments, if you will, that you say, only God can do that, right? Only God can do something. Well, if you have a situation where you're standing there with Moses and Elijah, you talk about the all-tournament team right there, that's going to get your attention. Every once in a while in these games, like college basketball games, or I don't know if it happens as much in college football, but maybe pros. But in college basketball, there's a big game. And when there's a big game, a bunch of celebrities or people that used to go to that school will come back to it and always find a way to get tickets. I don't know how that works, but I guess money is no option. So you see this. And the other night I'm watching a game and they're showing these different people. And I'm like, I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is. I think that person used to play at that school. I don't know who. And then they showed like a legend, a Hall of Famer. And when I saw the person on the screen, I went, oh, like, that person, that's a big deal. And the sad thing is, there's probably a whole bunch of people in that arena that have absolutely no idea what that person accomplished. That person accomplished probably more than everyone else that they've showed so far in their little, you know, timeout time where they go span the crowd. That's what these guys are. I mean, these are guys that when you see them, like a noise comes out of you, like, oh, like, how did they know it was Moses and Elijah? Did they have name tags? Is Moses like one of those bands that wears his own shirt? Like, how do they know it's Moses and Elijah? Here's what I believe. I believe when we get to the other side of glory, I believe you and I will recognize each other. I won't be married to my wife. Those won't necessarily be my kids. We're not living in a house together. I don't believe that. But I do believe you and I will recognize each other. We got Moses and Elijah right here talking to Jesus. I go back to Hebrews 12:1, the great cloud of witnesses. Well, who are they witnessing to? Who are they imploring us to run faithfully and not let anything tangle us up? I think people they knew. That's what I believe. And I believe that we will recognize one another. Will we all go on a camping trip and stuff? I don't know how that works, but I don't believe God's going to implore us to make disciples, evangelize the lost, and build churches and have all these different things to advance the kingdom and to get to the other side only to just be robots. I don't see that happening. But I do think we're going to recognize each other. So this is a big deal. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. This is the guy that's on the mountain now. He's writing this many years later. He says, "For we do not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on that holy mountain." Peter said, "I'm telling you right now, it happened. And I'm telling you right now, you need to strongly consider surrendering to Jesus Christ." If you want to kind of find another parallel to this, you look at Matthew 17. That's another place where you see the transfiguration. There's a little more details written a little bit, but same idea. It's the same idea here. And so here we are at the very end of this. And suddenly looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. Wouldn't that be great? If you and I could just look around today and there were no distractions, no worries, no stress. I took my kids to school. I come back here. I record this real quick before I go to the office. And I started to go through kind of the Rolodex of all the things I need to do today. I started to get a little stressed. And then it was just this kind of this calming voice in my head that said, "That's why it's called work. You know, it's going to be okay. You're right. You have your to-do list. No big deal. Wouldn't it be great if I rolled in and there was no to-do list and all there was Jesus only?" I think that's more available than we recognize, because I get in the car, I turn on the radio, I go to the office and, you know, I get the radio, I always got something going on, phone calls, emails, text messages, direct messages, whatever. Nothing wrong with these things. Absolutely nothing wrong with them. It's the way that we communicate in 2024. You got, you know, deadlines, you got things that are due, you got things you got to work through, you got, you know, we got to work through this problem, we're going to need to order these, that's just called job, right? It's called a job. We work jobs, we have jobs. I come home, and everyone else comes home, and we kind of figure out, like, how was your day, what was good, what was an obstacle, you got to get to work, you don't have to get to work, what happened at work, you got a new boss, you got this, that, the other, all the things that kind of comprise us doing life together. And if we're not careful, there's so much going on that it's not Jesus only, it's, where is Jesus? Or we only had a little bit of Jesus. As we said before, we're trying to do two things. Number one, I'm trying to close the gap from one interaction with Christ to the next. There's never a time that I'm not a Christ follower walking on this planet. However, there are times that I'm certainly more on mission when I'm living for Jesus Christ. So I'm trying to close the gap. I'm trying to close the gap from the time I have this conversation with you to the next time I consider the transfiguration of Jesus, or his power, or his majesty, or Jesus only. I'm trying to close the gap. And the way I can do that is, you know, I use index cards, I use a PVC patch I got in my pocket, I use whatever I can use just to try to keep that in the forefront of my mind. I love having something in my pocket. I don't know about you, but I find myself with my hands in my pockets, whether I'm grabbing my keys, my wallet, you know, whatever it is, whether it's a note card, a PVC patch, whatever, I'm carrying the Unabated Vigor patch in my pocket. I said on the podcast about that, like, that's a personal one. I'm carrying it every time I put my hand in it. I'm like, oh yeah, it's there. It's just a good reminder. It's a good reminder. So I want to close the gap on that, and I want to continue to find ways that instead of filling my time with things that are just mindless and unnecessary, that I'm filling them with Jesus. And the more I fill them with Jesus, the more that I notice that I am walking with him, not walking away from him and come, circling back going, okay, so where are we at again? I had a good friend of mine message me yesterday. He was witnessing to someone in his office where he works, and he was talking about this verse they was trying to remember and recall and stuff. And I told him, you know, it's like, man, you have you have this start of a library of Jesus in your heart. And so when someone came to talk to him, he was just able to recite a verse that he was memorizing. I think one of the things he said was, he actually told himself at one point, you know, what's the point of memorizing this verse? I don't really feel like I need to. Well, in that moment, he absolutely needed to. And I think that guy needed to hear it. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to close the gap on that. I'm even trying to close the gap on my conversations with other believers, whether, again, text, email, DM, whatever needs to happen, that I'm going to say, okay, it's worth it. That fellowship is absolutely worth it. I need to encourage them. I need to pray for them. I need to implore them. It's worth it. Number two, turn off the noise. There's so much noise. There's so much noise. I've told you before, you know, if you want to watch a ball game, I mute it. Do you really need to know what the commentators say? Can you not see it? They might give you a little witty quips and insights and stuff. But if you'll mute it, or mute commercials, let's say, you're going to listen way different in your house. But maybe you need to turn the radio off in your car sometimes. You'll find the conversation in your head will start to change. Maybe you need to turn off the noise at the office or where you work or when you're on break or wherever you're at. Maybe you find times, you know, in the evening where you just turn off the noise, or in the morning or whatever it is. We did that thing in the closed group and our guys, they crushed it. Cloud by day, fire by night. Those are guys in tribe, just crushed it. Just quiet ourselves. There's too much noise. So that's two things. If we really want to look at this and say, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. I want Jesus to be the most important relationship in my life. I want Jesus to be the one that I say, I love you. I follow you more than anyone else in my life. And man, I love my wife. I love my kids. That's a hard one. But when I look at that verse where Jesus talks about your love for him should almost look like hate in comparison to, I'm thinking, I got a long way to go. People need the Lord. People need to know Jesus. People need to see the light of Jesus in us. And the more that I turn off the noise and the more that I close the gap in my relationship and my communication with him, that it becomes more constant and consistent, the more willing I am to be a light to those who need it. You see, Peter, James, and John didn't need some kind of supernatural science project. What they needed was to be affirmed and to see something that was only of God, and then to do something with it. And I believe you and I are going to have some interactions today with God, and that he's going to say, now do something with it. Now take that to somebody. Encourage somebody. You read that in the Bible now. Shoot off a message and say, hey man, I just thought of you, thought I would encourage you with this. Or I want to encourage you to stay focused, stay faithful, stay the course, keep running that race well. And when Jesus becomes our only, everything else is put in its rightful place. Amen. So men, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And let's keep pursuing biblical manliness.